be paradise. Put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Welcome back to Saturday Splash with Lynn
and Maddie.
And now we're going to talk rain gardens. Maddie, did you know that I am a certified rain garden professional?
What?
Yeah, I went and took a class on it and everything.
Wait, so you could come out to my house or any house of anyone in Greenville County and teach me about rain gardens and assess my property and tell me if I need a rain garden and how I can make one?
I could do that. But first, we should probably know what the heck is a rain garden.
Oh, that's a good question.
It's just a garden where the rain falls. No, that's not exactly.
Well, then I got one of those.
Well, that's sort of it, but not really. So rain gardens, they're landscaped areas, and they are planted with wildflowers and, very importantly, native plants.
Which we just learned all about. Thank you, Andrew Padula.
Yes, thank you. So we plant them with native plants because they soak up rainwater, and the water, it usually you use these in a place where you have rain that's falling and running off the roof of the house or another building, something like that. And maybe it's collecting, or maybe you've got a low spot. And what happens is the garden fills up with a few inches of water after a storm, and it allows the water to slowly infiltrate into the land instead of running right off.
Okay, so anywhere where I have a bunch of standing water whenever it rains, that might be a good spot for a rain garden.
Yeah, it's possibly a good spot. It's especially great if you have an area where you have a lot of surface that runs off, like say, for instance, a roof of the house, and that you might have, if you have gutters on the roof of your house, then it goes to a downspout, and where that downspout pours out, oftentimes that's an area that just gets flooded and puddled up with water. So that would be potentially a good spot.
Okay, so the rain gardens kind of slows the flow of water and helps prevent flooding.
Yeah, that's right, because when you have stormwater, as we've discussed many times before, it runs right off. So the ideal way to clean that water is to let it soak through the ground and let the plants actually do the cleaning for us.
Aw, plants are awesome at filtering out pollutants, especially like if you've got things running off of your roof or running off of your driveway. Plants are just the best filterers ever.
Yeah, because when you compare like a rain garden, when you compare that to just a conventional, like, you know, your regular area of lawn, a rain garden allows up to 30% more water to soak into the ground, which is a really great thing.
Yeah, because those native plants in the rain garden, plants pull water from their roots up through their stem and out through their leaves. So native plants tend to have deeper roots, so they can tap into water that has gone farther down into the ground, basically.
And that helps with erosion, which is also perfect because when you use the native plants, then you don't get the erosion issues. And erosion is... definition, erosion.
Misplaced soil, basically.
Right. Yep.
So if you've got a big bare patch of lawn or something like that, it's been pretty much just putting soil into the water. Did you know that soil or sediment, dirt, is actually a very bad and highly regulated water pollutant?
Yes, of course I knew that, but I bet a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, a lot of sediment can contain a lot of toxins, a lot of heavy metals, and it also just clouds the water. So, you know, fish, gill breathers, no, aquatic animals like that, they can't breathe sediment. Their gills are not designed to breathe dirt, so they get clogged.
Yeah, I mean, we've been down to the Reedy River after a heavy rain, and you know how it turns all that it looks like the Oompa Loompa River.
Oh, it's so brown.
From Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it's like bright brown.
Yeah, it's really kind of ugly looking.
Yeah, that's from sediment.
Yep.
Just lots of erosion along the Reedy River. And I mean, it kind of happens sometimes when you have a river because you're moving a lot of sediment, but... It doesn't have to be that way.
No. So that's why rain gardens are important. You know, cities and suburbs, they grow. We are sprawling. The urban areas are getting bigger. As that happens, we're winding up with more pavement and more impervious surfaces. And what are impervious surfaces, Maddie? Tell us about them.
Hard surfaces. So surfaces that water cannot penetrate. So like a rooftop, a sidewalk, a street, a parking lot, a driveway.
That's all.
Et cetera. So normally, you know, in a natural landscape, water would fall on those areas and get soaked into the ground there in those areas. But, you know, all this impermeable surface, it displaces the water. So it moves it from where it's supposed to fall and be collected and be stored. And, you know, it ends up just moving it down storm drains and into the rivers. And, you know, that's why we get a lot of flooding, too, because a lot of this water that's supposed to get soaked into the ground doesn't. And so then it all goes to the river at one time, and we get flooding that way.
And the river says, no, no, no more.
Help me.
Help me. And also that water, stormwater carries pollutants from the streets and parking lots. You ever look at, you know, when after a rain in the parking lot and you see all those little rainbowy kind of looking splotches in parking lot?
Oh, yeah.
Motor oil.
Oh, yeah.
Auto fluids. And where do you think that's going? It's going in the river.
In the river.
Yep, yep.
So let's talk a little bit more about rain gardens, because now I'm interested and I kind of want to make one now. But I mean, is it expensive? I mean, can I just afford to do one myself? Do I have to maintain it? You know, what is my level of involvement here?
So, few things. One is you have to measure what the first thing that you want to do with a rain garden. Step number one, figure out what the area of impervious surface is that you're trying to collect the rain from. So,
do I do that? Can you do that?
I can do that for you. I can do that for you. There are plenty of sites online where you can go and you can say, oh, my roof is 50 by 100, how much surface of garden do I need to actually take care of that water? And generally speaking, we're looking at what's called first flush. So we want to capture up to, say, the first like half inch or so of rainwater that comes down and fill up that garden.
And I'm assuming the more impermeable surface you have, the bigger your garden should be?
Yeah, that's correct. So
makes sense.
So the first thing to do is calculate what size garden you want.
Okay.
Or you need, I suppose, to take care of the water.
Got it. 1 million square feet.
Perfectly. Now you need to figure out where the heck you're going to find 1 million square feet to put your garden.
In my garden.
A little bit more difficult. Yeah. So basically, I mean, in its simplest form, you want to dig out kind of a pond-like surface. You know, you might make a little depression in there, whatever the size is that you decide. For whatever reason, a lot of people make rain gardens kind of these like eggplant oval shapes. That seems to be like a standard design for rain gardens. But really, they could be any shape that your heart so desires. You could make a heart rain garden if you wanted to. That'd be awesome. So it looks a little bit like a dry pond when you're doing it.
So it doesn't stay full of water.
No, that's the whole that's the whole thing. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, well, it could have mosquito. You know, it's a place for mosquitoes. Ideally, what you want, you need to do some sampling of the soil to see how saturated your soil will get. So, like, you know, with clay tends to not soak up soil. Whereas if you have a sandier soil, it'll go through a lot more quickly. But,
okay, that makes sense. There's more pore space in the sand than in the clay.
So ideally what you want is you want the rain to flow into that rain garden. You want it to fill up and look a little bit like a pond. And then by the end of two days, you want all that water to be gone again.
Okay, so it doesn't sit. Because mosquitoes need generally like 1 to 2 weeks to lay and hatch their eggs. So that, you know, if you have standing water like in a bucket, that's how you get mosquitoes, but it sounds like a rain garden is going to fill and drain very quickly.
Yeah, the water's going to soak in. The rain garden is dry between rainfalls. Now, there are some rain gardens that you could do that would include a pond in them. That's more advanced than I'm familiar with. So I don't generally work with those, but there are certified landscape designers that you can work with to do those.
Okay, so then you will come out, or your rain garden expert comes out, and they help you pick your plants, and you'll go with native plants, and then you get your plants planted. So what do you do to maintain it after that? Is it difficult? Do I have to be out there every single week taking care of this pond? I mean, not pond, but two-day pond.
No, this depression in the soil. Oh, depression, that sounds sad. No, it's actually very happy. No, you don't.
Happy depression.
It's a happy depression. The most that you really need to do, and it's mostly the first year, is you'll need to do some weeding. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people think that rain gardens, because you're planting with native plants, sometimes they're not as, it's not as perfect and manicured as, say, you know, a flower garden might be. So, but you do want to, you want to weed it. The other thing that you need to do, and this is more long-term, you'll get a lot of the sediment that we talked about before. You will get sediment running into your garden. And so every several years, you may need to look and see if a lot of silt, which is very, very fine sediment, has filtered into your garden. And then you may need to kind of muck that out a little bit. But they're very low maintenance, really.
Okay, so in a perfect world, I set my garden up and I really pull some weeds and I take out some dead plants, and mostly it kind of maintains itself, it sounds like.
It mostly does. The one thing that's a little bit surprising is that in that first year is you want your plants to get established, so you actually have to water your rain garden if it's not raining.
Make it rain. Yeah. All right.
Make it rain on your rain garden.
Cool. So is it expensive?
It's not expensive.
It sounds complicated and fancy.
It does sound complicated and fancy. You could theoretically do this with a shovel.
Cool.
And your little hands with, I would put gloves on them. But, you know, I mean, if you have a really big garden, you could backhoe that bad boy right out.
Shoot.
But that is not necessary. When I went to our certification class, we actually created a rain garden. And we did it all with shovels.
Okay. So maybe I bribe a few friends to come out and help me dig. And then my only cost is plants.
It's plants. And you may, depending on the soil, I will tell you, if you have clay soil, you may want to do some soil amendments.
But that's good for the soil anyway.
Yeah, that's a good thing. If you're composting, you want to do that. You may want to put some mulch on the top of it to keep the moisture in. So there are, I mean, you could get super duper fancy and you could build up berms and you could sod everything. You could be really fancy, but
yeah,
you don't need to be really fancy to do that.
So you were saying, you kind of mentioned earlier about these pretty manicured gardens, but there are so many beautiful native plants. So just look around. They're there. They're beautiful. And this way you could have beautiful native plants that you wouldn't even really have to maintain too much.
No. And everybody loves, I mean, you know, you think about it, when you see a lot of people pay an exorbitant amount of money for artwork and pictures that are wildflower fields, you could have a wildflower dry pond in your very own garden. It'd be beautiful.
That sounds awesome. Well, if we want to learn more, SaturdaySplash.com. Lynn is a certified rain garden specialist, so she can help you out.
And we'll put a link up there. And if you want me to come out to your house, I am happy to do it. It's one of the services that we offer at no charge to Greenville County residents.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. Tune in this
next week.
Well, you already turned in today. Tune in next week and every Saturday at 7 a.m.